This week on Don't Miss the Bus, the boys head to their homeland, Ireland. They're joined by a unique storyteller, Joe. They find out who drinks more Guinness than the Irish and where the first St. Patrick's Day parade was held.
I'm Rory Kerr.
And I'm Mark Faye.
This is the podcast where two tour guides reflect on 15 years of travel to seven continents and over 120 countries. Each episode, we'll be focusing on a country from both a tour guide and a backpacker's perspective. We are no experts, but our hilarious and often bizarre stories will keep you informed on the do's, the don'ts, and the hidden melons that will surely get you excited for your next big adventure.
Rory, I am pumped. Are you pumped?
I'm pumped.
There's a few reasons I think we're both pumped. We're pumped, number one, because we're talking about a country very close to our heart.
Our homeland.
Our homeland, the land of the green. And we're also pumped because we have a very special guest that's going to be joining us on this very episode.
We do indeedy.
Without any further ado, we'd just like to introduce our guest, who will give a quick little brief introduction about who he is, what he's all about, but he's a very good friend of ours here on the show. So, Joe, would you like to just say hello and quickly introduce yourself?
Gentlemen, I am awfully excited. I'm pumped. I did that earlier, just me, but now I'm excited. A little bit about myself. So I not only visited Ireland, but I also lived there. I'm going to go ahead and say for about 4 years. And I'd like to think that time has informed me. I should be able to give some insights. I'm excited. I've missed the bus in the past, but I'm not going to miss it again.
So we have an expert on the show. Fantastic, Joe. Great. We don't really want to hear much more about you. The viewers are slightly bored already. Joe, Rory, we are talking about Ireland, and it is known as the Republic of Ireland officially, which has a population of 5 million people. In Ireland, it has plenty of counties, 32 in fact.
32 counties.
32, and it's divided into two sections. There's, of course, the Republic, and Rory, Joe, can you help me out? What's the other?
Northern Ireland.
Northern Ireland. Very good.
Joe, have you got an interesting fact for us about Ireland?
Well, I kind of do, lads. It's a numbers fact. And do you think I've got a fun fact revolving around the number 25? Do you have any idea why that might be relevant?
25?
25 dialects.
No, that's not my fun fact. Any other guesses? Last guess.
No, I'm lost there.
25. That's actually the number of women I was with in my first year when I was in Ireland.
He's off to a good start.
He bored them with the introduction,
but he brought them back with a little bit of a comment there. We like that.
And I'm gonna roll off that comment there for Joe. None of those women were leprechauns. Do any of you know why? Because there's no female leprechauns. If you look at Irish books, you'll never get a female leprechaun.
That is a fun fact. And you know what? I'd never thought about it until right now, but it's true.
Next time you're in Ireland, you can go chasing the women and maybe try and find one that is a leprechaun. We talked about that our parents are from Ireland. Joe said he spent 4 years in Ireland. Michael, when have you been there?
Well, I was born there.
That's a good start.
So I was born in Ireland, but I moved to Australia when I was two. So I've spent most of my time in Australia. I have actually just recently purchased a property back where my family's from in County Monaghan, in Monaghan town. So that's pretty exciting. All of my bloodline, all of that goes back to our Irish heritage. So there's not one part of me that is Australian nor any other country, all completely Irish. And that would explain why I have probably, Joe, how would you best describe my melatonin in my skin?
I would describe it as like full cream milk, real creamy, real pale.
So it's disappointing, my skin color. It is very much Irish skin. I like to think my Irish banter is still there, and I think I've got a lot of Irishness still in me. Yeah, of course, my parents and your parents as well, Rory, very, very much Irish. So
my understanding, Mark, is you not only have the Irish skin, but you have another Irish curse as well. Is that true?
What would that be?
The other Irish curse? You never heard about that?
I believe I'm about to.
Well, it has to do with dove death.
Oh,
have I heard that before?
Oh, well, not until now, but I'm assuming it's a compliment.
Let's move on.
You talk about curses. Ireland's also known for The Cure. Have you ever heard of The Cure?
Oh, the band, yep.
The Cure is a band. Well done. The Cure actually in Irish folklore is that if you're the seventh son of the seventh son, you're known for curing something. So there'll be somebody in the village that is known for the cure of neck pain, and you go to that person and they'll cure it. I remember as a kid, my mum taking me to a person that was the cure of warts, and they poured some special water over it, and to tell you the truth, nothing really happened. But that's Irish for you. Joe, what did you do in the 4 years? Where were you based in Ireland?
Well, I predominantly worked in sort of hospitality as well as a bit of finance. I was mainly located in the south of the country, Cork, be precise, West Cork, which is very rural, down the old N71, and loved it there. And that's what I was doing.
Now, the Cork people are known for their sing-song accent. Did you experience mm-hmm. that?
They talk very fast, almost like a VHS or VHR tape on rewind, like very... and it's hard to follow. You get used to it over time. You absolutely do.
Joe,
but when you say sing-songy, what's interesting about the sing-songy? I became a big hit in that part of the town by merging my Australian-ness, because Mark talked about how Australian he is. I'm also a citizen and passport holder. Merging that my Australian-ness with also my Irishness, and in the pubs, speaking of sing-songy, I would sing the lyrics of Home and Away to the tune of Dirty Old Town.
You would have been a hit.
So for the listeners that don't know what Home and Away is, it's an Australian classic soap.
And Dirty Old Town?
More popular in Ireland than in Australia.
It is indeed. Ireland for me is just what you said, Joe, storytelling. And people ask, why would you go to Ireland? It's all about the storytelling. And to sum it up, the Dubliners, they're very, very quick-witted. And a good friend of ours were back in Ireland. They're riding a bus, just like what we're doing right now. Cool kids were sitting there and a little small person got on.
One of the students.
He got up and he said, oh, do you want to sit down? And the small person went ballistic at him, said, no, I don't want to bloody sit down. There's nothing bloody wrong with me. I'm just bloody small. And he was like, oh, I'm sorry. And trust the Dublin quick wit. A couple of stops later, somebody got up and walked over to the boy and said, look, I think you did the right thing. If you were my son, I'd be very proud of you. And then they turned to the small person and said, and Snow White wouldn't be happy with you. And for me, that is the Irish wit and humour and banter, as Mark
They're
likes
quick.
To call it.
They're quick.
Busboy hitting, busboy hitting. Oi, bruv, I'm going to bust your head in.
We're going to start with Joe today. Joe, what busses your head in about Ireland? You spent 4 years there.
Wow. Busses my head. That what annoys me. But if you're Australian visiting there, it can be amazing. But if you're not in the mood for it, every Irish person has either a sister, brother, a cousin, or some distant relative in Australia. They're going to ask you if you know them. You could say you're from Perth. They'll ask. Oh, he's in Sydney. They'll ask, do you know him? And they'll give you a name. They'll be like, Sean Murphy. You must know Sean. And you don't know Sean Murphy. And you're going to get balled up, and you're going to spend some time, and that can annoy.
Had you ever, Joe, gone on with it and been like, oh, Sean? I met him a few years back at a local park. We were playing frisbee together. Have you given the branch leaf out and gone with it?
Often they'll say, "Oh, Sean Murphy, do you know Sean?" I said, "Sean, Sean and I cheated our way through high school together." And Sean's 34 and he's an engineer, but I have gone with it on occasion. Or sometimes I've said we're ex-lovers.
Mark, what about you? What busts your head in?
But before I even say this, Roy, we've got to pay a big special thanks to Joe, because he's a part of the DMTB bus team, and he's very much a big part of why these segments exist, because he's the man responsible for creating all of these sound bites.
And we do indeed. I think our listeners, they've experienced a few episodes of Season 2 now, and... all reports, they are a lot more appreciative of the structure.
They're
and we got to thank Joe for that.
We got to thank Joe.
Stop it.
Joe, there was a bit of anger on your end towards Rory for quite some time. Where was this tension about these sound bites? Because
I said that in confidence. I put them out there and I thought, I'm going to get showered in praise very promptly. Mark was very quick off the mark. Used to not missing the bus, he was on the bus. Rory, a little slow on the thanks. I think there was probably a good 2 months between.
Well, look,
and I was angry.
Look, I gotta tell you the truth. Yeah. Gotta tell you the truth there, Joe. Mark for a long time said he created them. I didn't know how he created them because Mark isn't that gifted. But it took me a while to get it out of him where these sound bites came from. And of course, once I found out, I was straight on the blower.
Listen, I have the gift of the gab. I'm Irish, remember?
Ah, you do.
Joe, we apologize for that, but we do want to say thank you.
Rory, I am so sorry. I have directed my ire at you when it should have been at Mark, and I should have known. I should have known there was some cape or some thrifty tricks going on from Mark.
Joe,
should have known.
So, boys, I want to get back to what busses my head in. But thanks again, Joe, for your sound bites. Wonderful. What busses my head in? This really busses my head in. Everywhere you go in Ireland, you'll hear about Guinness. Obviously, Joe, where you were living, it's more about a different type of Guinness, which was, of course, the it's Murphy's, right?
Stout Murphy's. Yep.
So everywhere you go in Ireland, I got sick of hearing about this pub being the best place to get Guinness. Yeah, this pub has the best Guinness. You'll see signs out the front saying this is the best. It tastes the exact same. Every pub I went to in Ireland, the Guinness was the same. There might be a little bit more cream in some of the pubs. I'll give it that. But minimal and not worth the sign, not worth the energy. That really does bust my head in.
That's controversial, Mark, especially for Guinness drinkers. They notice the difference.
They clearly don't know Guinness like I know Guinness.
Controversy. What busses my head in? This was about 15 years ago. I was working. I went to the bank, opened up a bank account. Thought, oh yeah, they're going to give me a card to get money out of the ATM. Nope, you can't have a card. Fraud. It's my money. I don't want a credit card. I don't want anything. I just want to be able to go to the machine and get money out. Why wouldn't they give me one?
How bizarre.
Oh, I think it probably has something to do with you looking like a serial killer. you're scared that Joe. Be grateful, Joe. You're obviously going on a phone call at the minute, but be grateful you're not staring directly at him right now. He's not the most aesthetically pleasing person to look at the best of time.
Yeah, speaking of staring straight at things, Mark, it's like if you stared straight at the sun with your pale skin, it gets with an heartbeat.
Not the time.
I think we should have Joe on every week.
I'm not happy with this special guest. And this is a one-time special guest.
If you didn't like Guinness, obviously you'd hate the black and tan.
Can we please move on?
That is two for two,
Not enjoying this.
Now that you've got them two for two, Joe, I think we should give you some more power.
I have the power!
If you had the power to change one thing, what would you do?
I actually wrote down a couple because depending on what order we went, you know, someone might steal this one, but I'm going to take the obvious one, lads. I think you could even grab this. It's the weather.
Has to be.
In the summer, amazing. The greenest green you'll ever see because it's had all that rain of the grass, I mean. But, gee, you're getting 7 or 8 months of winter. Let's not kid around. And it can be a drag.
I got to add to that. I was working in 4 home superstores and they put the Aussie selling barbecues and you have never seen a rush of people into a store when they get the 2 days of sun to buy their $1,000 barbecue that they're going to use once or twice. You've got something else for us?
Oh, this one's a bit of a low blow, but gee, the dentistry, it needs a shot in the arm. the part of the country I was in, I'd like to think I've had a nice smile, not great. You know, I'm not winning any awards, but gee, when I first got there, I was being complimented left and right. You know, you got the whitest teeth there. Your teeth are like Mark's skin. Do you know Mark? And I was very flattered, but you're going to see some things that, quite frankly, if you're new to it, will shock you.
Do you think that helped with the 24 or 25?
25, Rory.
25. I was losing track.
I think it most certainly did, but more than anything, it was, I like to chat to people and I'm a fun guy.
Sorry to just interrupt, Joe. Speaking of chatting people, I just want to tell the listeners a quick story, just quick 30-second story. Joe, I visited you in Ireland when you were living there.
You absolutely did. I loved your company.
Joe is renowned for being a social guy, generally not awkward, but sometimes at the best times he can make things pretty uncomfortable. There was this lovely couple that picked us up. We were hitchhiking. It's what you do when there's no public transport around. The conversation was going grand with these two wonderfully nice, clean-cut people. We were talking about, you know, the weather, talking about movies, all this sort of jazz. Joe just sort of changed tact with the conversation and asked the question, "Hey guys, have you stolen anything?" Which didn't really fit the context of what we were speaking about. He then proceeded to talk about how he has stolen things We are hitchhiking. These lovely people are picking us up. It made everybody in that car very uncomfortable. None more so, especially than the person who made the comment.
I'll wear that. I'll wear it, not proudly. I'll wear that with shame. I think the only way I could have made the conversation worse if I'd said, hey, have you guys ever hitchhiked and then killed the people? That the only way the conversation could go, I don't know what I was thinking. We've been drinking and I could get a little too talkative. And that was one occasion.
Did you do much hitchhiking when you were there?
Plenty. I probably, if I had to do a pie graph of my travel around, I'd say most of it was done by car, so 50%, and then probably 15% by public transport. I'm talking outside of the major cities. In the major cities, a lot of PT. But certainly, when busing or trying to get from, say, you know, Cork to Dublin or even just sort of West Cork to Cork City, I probably hitchhiked 250, 300 trips, maybe more, and only had one bad experience. So I give hitchhiking a thumbs up.
Now, when you mentioned public transport, Ireland has no trains, really. It is all buses, and I think it is time to ride that bus.
Eyes forward, pens down, ride the bus quiz.
Today we have two people answering. They're both going to be fighting for those melons. We're going to wait for both of your answers before giving the answer. So the first question, Ireland has 32 counties.
Oh, God. We are off to a terrible start, considering the answer was given. And Joe, just to clarify as well, you either hop on or you hop off the bus. Hop on means correct. Hop off means you're not happy. I'm definitely going to hop on that bus.
I'm hopping on the bus.
You are right. It has 32 counties. How many of the counties are in the north?
Six.
Joe?
Six. Can you name them, Mark?
Yes, but I choose not to. Next question.
You can name them, Joe?
Sure. Antrim, Armagh, Tyrone, Derry, Down, and there's one more.
Fermanagh. Is it Fermanagh?
Fermanagh. You nailed it. There
Fermanagh.
You got six.
And do you know the three counties that are in Ulster that are not in Northern Ireland?
Yeah, Mark mentioned it before. That'd be Monaghan.
Yep.
I want to say Sligo.
Nope. Cavan.
Cavan. And, you've got me, Rory.
And Donegal.
Donegal, they're all at the top there. Yeah, all right.
You were down in the south, so I'll give you a pass, Mark. So you're off to a flying start. One melon out of one melon. Question number two. That was a bit of a gimme. Question number two. You're going to hop on or hop off? Nigerians drink more Guinness than the Irish.
Oh, hopping off.
I am hopping on.
Mark, Joe, Mark is right. Hop on. The British are the largest consumers, then the Nigerians, then the Irish. But we got to remember, there's a lot more British and Nigerians than Irish.
Absolutely.
Question number three. St. Patrick, the most famous Irish person in the world, was born in Dublin.
I'm hopping off.
As am I.
You're both
born in England.
Both hopping off.
In the UK.
Where do you think he was born, Joe?
Mark just spouted up and said the UK. I don't know, but I just don't think it was. I still think it was Ireland, but not Dublin.
He was actually born in Wales and sent to Ireland as a missionary.
There you go.
So two from three. You're doing all right. Question number four. The first St. Patrick's Day parade was not held in Ireland.
I'm on the bus.
I'm going to hop on the bus too. I think it was New York.
It was New York.
Four from four, Joe. Three from four.
Three from four.
Joe, we're a great team. You know, we're not great friends, but we're a great team. This is wonderful.
I mean, if you say so, I will just say St. Patrick's Day in Ireland, not that big a deal. The better St. Patrick's Day you'll have will be outside of Ireland.
Absolutely.
I think, do we agree on that?
100%. 100%. I've done two in New York and they are off the chain. It was in 1762 that New York started celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Question number five.
Come on, our first five from five. I got this. Joe, you're doing very well yourself, and I'm really happy you're a part of the team. Are you enjoying being a part of the team today?
I'm very excited. Everything except the patronizing, but go on.
The harp is the national symbol of Ireland.
On the bus.
I am definitely hopping on the bus. And it's, in fact, the only musical instrument in the whole of the world that has it as their national symbol.
High five, baby! Yeah!
Can I also say, the Irish harp backwards.
The Irish harp is backwards.
True.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Hey, Joe, 4 from 5, mate. That's a fantastic effort. You couldn't get much better than 4 from 5. Unless you're Mark Faye. 5 from 5. I'm sorry about the baby. I didn't mean to call you baby just then. I felt really awkward as I was saying it. I'm glad you were embracing it. Joe, well done. And well done to both of us. 9 from 10 ain't bad.
I'm pleased with 4 out of 5. You know, you guys are the tour guides. You're the pros. And to be within a sniff, it smelled good.
I don't think I've got a 4 out of 5 yet this season, but we'll go with it. I think you might be replacing me soon, Joe.
I appreciate that.
It's the time that we get a local.
Local legend. Fast 5.
Okay, so we're here for a very unique recording of Don't Miss the Bus because it's the first time we've had a family member or members be the interviewees. So I'm here with my mother and father. Let's quickly say hello.
Hello.
Hello, Mark.
So would it be fair to say, Mum and Dad, you're here with your most precious and most beautiful child? You've got two, but I would be your favourite?
My favourite son, yes.
Well answered.
So you guys are from Ireland. So can you just give us a bit of background as to where you're from in Ireland and how long you've been, how long you lived there for and when you migrated from Ireland to Australia?
I was born in Ireland in 1947 and I left Ireland in 1988 to come to Australia. I went to school in Ireland, did my nursing training in Ireland and did all my social life in Ireland. I got married and came here. I'm from Monaghan, which is in the north. It's in Ulster.
And Mum, were you happy with the person that you married? Or was that sort of one of your maybe life's regrets?
I was ecstatic with the person I married and I fell in love with him the day I met him and I'm still in love with him.
Okay, good answer. And Dad, quickly? And I say quickly because you'll go on.
Okay.
Where are you from? Tell us a bit about you.
Well, I'm from Monaghan as well.
Yeah.
And I traveled around the world and then I happened to just travel back home to Ballybay in Monaghan, County Monaghan, where I was born. And I met this little lady here and then we got married. So as the saying goes, the rest is history. So it's been a roller coaster since then, but we're still together and we're loving everything.
And Monaghan, for those people that don't know, is in the northern part of Ireland, just on the border of Northern Ireland.
Well, you see, the reality is Northern Ireland is not Northern Ireland at all. Northern Ireland's on the east coast, but the fact is we're from that part of the world. Yes, that's true.
Irish to everything.
We're from Ulster. There's Ulster, Munster, Leinster and Connacht, and we're from the top Ulster.
Great. And Mum, Dad, what are some sort of unique foods to expect in Ireland? What are some foods?
Well,
soda breads.
Irish stew. Bacon and cabbage, black pudding, white pudding, soda bread, or I said soda bread, kern bread, wheaten bread. They're quite unique. And they're
when it comes to drinks, Irish coffee.
Oh, correct.
There is nothing to beat it.
What is Irish coffee?
It's got to be made with Jameson for a start off, Jameson whiskey. And it's just unique. The taste of it is totally unique. Simple as that. I mean, I can't, you have to be drinking it to understand how good it is.
When we were having parties, Mum, do you remember we used to make Irish coffee at the end of the night?
Always.
You used to say, I'm off to make some Irish coffee.
That's correct.
And I, as a young one, would always think, drinking coffee at this time of the night, that's very responsible.
The one thing you have to be very careful in with the Irish coffees, you make the coffee quite strong. It's black. You have it in a glass. The secret to it is pouring the cream in that it doesn't mix with the coffee so that it just sits on top.
But the danger to it all, Val, is you drink too many of them.
Never too many.
Well, also, what are some unique things about Irish culture? What's different about Irish culture compared to other cultures?
It's a kind of the way that people act and they act in a way that you got to remember that Ireland was a third world country up to about 40 years ago, 30, 40 years ago, when it joined the EU. And then it became basically a rich country in terms of a lot of other countries. And it has this, the people have this ability to adapt to whatever is happening around them. And they've changed and they've made it now a very prosperous place to live. So it's a wonderful place.
the people are wonderful, the music's wonderful. You just all the pubs and hotels, there's music and bands every night, and people join in and dance and sing. It's fantastic.
And is that legit? Is it like every pub has live
almost
music?
Yes, almost every pub. I would say, like, maybe not every night, but definitely it's a big thing to have music in the pubs.
Music is something that is part of Ireland.
Yeah.
Singing is part of Ireland. Laughter is part of Ireland. And I don't think you can get much. And drinking is part of Ireland. So I don't think you can get much better than that.
You said singing. Would that explain why I have the voice of an angel?
Well, Mark, I don't think that you have, but I'll pass on that one.
What are some things in Ireland that you mustn't miss? Is there any places or something you must do when you're in Ireland? Something maybe that's hidden?
Well, from Monaghan, Leslie Castle, which is in Glasslough, it's a little country town outside Monaghan. It's a little village.
And that's where Paul McCartney got married.
That's exactly what I was
going to say. How successful was the marriage? Because they say every marriage in that castle lasts. Did that one last?
No. That one certainly didn't last.
What, 9 months or something?
Yeah, there are a lot of weddings, a lot of high profile people come to Leslie Castle. Beautiful lake, beautiful boats, restaurants, everything. It's amazing.
Yeah, very good. And what about festivals? Is there any festivals that you could talk about?
The Listunvarna Festival, Mark, where we went together one time, which you didn't realize was a matchmaking affair, and you nearly got caught up with a few French ladies. So that is definitely a one. And the guy didn't come round with the big book to you, so you were lucky. You got out of that very quickly.
Another one is the Flacules that are held every year, and they're amazing. There's music on the streets. Everyone's out dancing.
And it doesn't matter whether it's raining or snowing.
It's amazing, yeah.
And definitely. Would you say everybody's very friendly?
Oh, totally. Yeah. It's the one thing, no matter who you meet, they'll say. Even when I go home now on holidays, we go home most years, I meet people in the supermarket and they'll say, "And how are you doing today?" And you think, "Who are you?" And they wouldn't know you from a bar of soap, but they are very friendly.
That is a thing. That's a good point. Everybody knows everybody and nobody knows anybody.
Yeah.
I think that's well said. And what, by the sounds of it, you guys are quite passionate about Ireland, even though you're living here in Australia. But what did you love most about living in Ireland? Was it that? Was it the atmosphere? Was it the people?
Oh, it was the people.
The people and the music. The people and the music. Certainly not the weather.
I mean, the music is all over the world.
Yeah.
You know, the Irish music and the sounds and the traditional musics. And, you know, Paddy Maloney even brought it as far as China, that, you know, that music is everywhere. So it's just wonderful. The music is wonderful.
Yeah, no, the music carries everywhere you go. Even when I travel, there's Irish music everywhere. There's Irish pubs everywhere.
Irish pubs, and in the Irish pubs, you know, all over the world, they have Irish music. St. Patrick's Day is well celebrated in every country all over the world, particularly America.
And Australia.
And everywhere. St. Paddy's Day is...
Is Paddy's Day big, though, in Ireland?
Huge.
Oh, it is big in
Ireland. Oh, it's massive. Yeah, there's parades in every town. There's dancing. There's Irish dancing. Oh, it's amazing.
There was a protest last year on the streets because it couldn't operate Paddy's Day, so it nearly turned into a riot.
Really?
Yes.
Why? Oh, because of COVID?
COVID, yeah.
Oh, bummer. There's some good things about Ireland. What's some bad things about Ireland? So why are you glad you're not there anymore?
I'd say the biggest thing is the weather. The weather, like, is unpredictable, even in summer. You can never arrange a day to go and have a picnic, ever.
Driving in the winter nights with the frost and the ice and the snow is treacherous.
It is, and dangerous. It's just shocking, yeah. The weather is awful. When you're there and living there, you have to put up with
it,
you know, but... When you leave it, you think, goodness, the weather is real. And when you go back and the grey clouds on the summer's day is scary.
So, Mum, what you're saying is most men would keep their women warm, but yours didn't keep you warm enough, hence why you migrated to Australia? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, I stayed with the Irishman in Australia.
Oh, no, I think you've misinterpreted that, Mark, a little bit.
Is that it, mainly the weather? That's the only thing that bothers you about
definitely,
the country?
Definitely. The weather is the only thing that you could pick an hour.
So you'd say if the weather was perfect. The weather was sunny. It was even a little bit warmer.
Even if you could predict that summer was going to be good. But normally it's raining every day in summer.
Yeah.
Like my sister will ring me here in Australia and I'd say to her, on a summer's day, and she said, oh, it was very wet all day, but it's 5:30 this evening and the sun has come out and everyone's sitting outside.
It's not like in Australia. It doesn't come a big shower and stop. It keeps mizzling away and it's cold and it's wet and it's damp.
Yeah.
And it's not good for your body. So that's the main big thing that I would have against.
I remember when you guys came over to visit me when I was traveling around Europe and we stayed in Monaghan at Three Mile House. Mm. And there was a couple of days where it was 30 degrees. And they were some of the best days I've had in the whole of my time in Europe.
That was freaky weather, though.
That was fantastic.
But it was just the way people were acting, the color, the greenery, everything was just, it was different.
So. Well, see, the thing is, if you've got that high heat in Ireland, everything looks so much better because it's so green.
Yeah.
But if you didn't have all this rain and wet, you wouldn't have the greenery. So
green grass of home. Well, there's certainly green grass. And when you come down in the aeroplane, you see all the fields, all the different shades of green. It's amazing. Like, it is amazing.
Johnny Cash wrote a song, 40 Shades of Green.
And that's fact. This is right.
What? You guys are bouncing well off each other. Look at you two. What would you say is the best way about traveling around Ireland?
I think definitely by car. You know, the roads.
There's a lot of good public transport.
There is, but it's a bit difficult. You know, if you want to go, like the Ring of Kerry is an amazing trip. But you would need a car to go around the Ring of Kerry. Like, you couldn't go to Ireland.
Well, you can travel in Ireland now. There's quite a lot of
tourist systems and stuff like that that would get
you around. You know, like 20 years ago, you would have to own a car, but not today. You can get around quite well with the public transport. It's quite good.
Yeah.
And it's very efficient as well, by the way.
Yeah, that's
very
right. Efficient.
It's mainly the bus service, though, isn't it?
Yeah, the bus. Oh, the bus.
Yeah,
the
not trains. No trains, no trams.
There's trains to the major places, but that's all.
And what advice would you guys give to somebody traveling to Ireland, maybe for the first time or maybe traveling again? What advice would you give them?
Give yourself plenty of time. Do not. Mañana is the story in Ireland. Tomorrow, you know, you have to wait for tomorrow. It's as simple as that. Don't try to do everything today.
Plenty of time. How long would you need, roughly?
2 weeks, at least.
At least a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And you can drive around the whole country quite easily.
The roads are okay. It's small. I mean, it's only probably two or three times bigger than Rottnest, you know what I mean? So it's not big, but you do need that little bit of time to spend in the quaint little villages. And
some of the roads aren't the very best. You know, the highways are really good, but a lot of the side roads are very twisty and bendy, and you really need plenty of time to get around them, and particularly if it's wet weather or frosty weather.
You need to be prepared to relax when you go to Ireland.
That's right.
Yeah, embrace it.
And enjoy the people and the music.
And the people are stunning, they're gorgeous, they're beautiful.
And they love visitors. They just love the people and make them feel very welcome and very much at home. And everyone says that to me when they come back. It's an amazing country.
You feel welcome.
Very friendly.
They are very friendly.
Very friendly.
And before we leave, I mentioned, or you guys mentioned, about how amazing the people are and how good looking they are and all that sort of jazz. So you have been nice enough to give birth to me and give birth to these beautiful good looks. So you think you've got
these good looks?
Well, Margaret, this is what I wanted to ask. We got a family of four, and let's just put this to rest for good. If we were to go around robin and say who the best looking Irishman in this particular family, so there's mum, dad, my sister Ema, or Mark, who would we all choose? Because I will have to nominate Mum. Mum, who would you like to nominate?
It would be a tie between Mark and Emer, definitely. There'd be a tie between them. One's better looking than the other.
So that'd mean Dad's in last place. Yeah. And Dad, who would you recommend?
Can I nominate Val?
You can nominate Val.
Oh, that's okay.
So Val for the gold medal. So yeah. Val, congratulations on being the best looking member of our family. And thank you for being on the podcast. Do you all remember the name of our podcast?
On the Bus.
Mom?
Stop the Bus.
Guys, you did it. You did everything except Don't Miss the Bus.
Oh, there you go. Well, we haven't missed it. We're on our way again.
It's time to wrap up this episode.
Did somebody say DMTB?
Top three.
Yeah.
Let's do it. DMTB, top three tips for Ireland. What can our listeners take away?
Yep, I'll start. Boys, I think you guys are probably going to have quite a few tips each. I'm going to make mine really short and sharp. Two big tips. Number one, we've mentioned Ireland is divided into two parts, Northern Ireland and the Republic. Just remember, Northern Ireland uses the pound, the sterling currency. The Republic uses the euro. So have both currencies if you're going to be paying cash. Tip number one. Tip number two, Ireland's very famous for its live music. Don't be expecting live music from 11 in the morning all the way up until midnight. Generally, at most pubs in Ireland, if you're lucky for live music to take place, and it's generally only at the bigger pubs, usually starts at around 8 p.m. Just a little tip. How was that?
That was good.
You like that?
Yeah. Joe, have you got a few tips for us?
I do. Absolutely. I think I'm good looking more at like what's an absolute must. If you land in Dublin Airport or Cork or, you know, perhaps in Belfast, what you just have to do if you're doing the whole country. To me, it's three things. You have to go to Temple Bar. I think Temple Bar is the best. Mark talked about there not being live music all the time. That's true outside of Temple Bar.
Yep.
Temple Bar in Dublin is probably the best party spot where you can just plug in and plug out of. Probably in the world. It's always happening. There's always something going on. Summer, especially winter, even. You got to do Temple Bar.
Would you not say it's a bit overrun by tourists? Because it's not as authentic as it probably once was.
No, it's not at all. It's totally overrun by tourists. You're right. On your first night, maybe your first two nights, where you're like, you know what, I just want to kind of ease into this country and ease into the experience. I think that's a good thing in a strange way.
And there's enough Irish people there. It's authentic still in that regard.
That's the price you pay for it just on all the time. You walk into any pub and there's people in there. And, you know, it's going to have to be people who don't live in the country because they've got work on a Monday at 3 o'clock, so you get the phone. That's one thing. You got to see the Rink Kerry, and you got to drive it. I wouldn't recommend getting a bus tour through it. I'd recommend hiring a car if you're able to. Driving through, you can stop where you want. There's little recesses. There's a whole bunch of stuff you can do. Little waterways and all these little different looking points that are fantastic. So that's a must. Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I do. And I think that's a great tip. Hire a car in Ireland. Things are close. Yeah. Just be careful when you're hiring the car. Watch out. They do sting you for insurance. They're red hot on any scratches on the car. So make sure you look over it thoroughly. And they're notorious for being a bit harsh when you rent a car in Ireland.
Yeah, go to a big company. If you recognize the brand name, probably a good sign. If you don't, that's just equally a bad sign. Other than that, I want to do a bit of a like hidden tip. Don't be afraid to go off-grid a little bit. Like Dublin and Cork are great, absolutely do them, but don't be afraid to go west. You get warmer because you get that Atlantic, you get the Gulf Stream, and you get a whole different topography, you get a different geography. It's fantastic. So West Cork, and in particular, in a place called Lochheim. Mountain, you can climb up, get to the top. It's not too difficult, but you get a great vista when you get there, and you'll love it. That's Lochheim National Park in West
Cork. Good tips.
They're great tips, Joe. So I've got a few different tips. Kilmaine Jail in Dublin is one of the best tourist attractions. Great storytellers. Definitely go there. Giant's Causeway is one of the things that are in all the tourist books. For me, it was a bit far stretched, the storytelling there. It was a bunch of rocks. I was a 15-year-old at the time. I wasn't that impressed. People love it. A hard pass on that one. One cool thing is Newgrange. It's older than the pyramids. It's over 5,000 years old. It's an old tomb. If you get the chance, go there. It's a little bit less known, even though it's so old. Black taxi tours in Antrim. They talk about the Irish Troubles in Northern Ireland. Rave reviews about them. But my one thing, if you're going to Ireland, try and tee up a big event. So go to a sporting event at Croagh Park. See a Gaelic game, a hurling game. Go to the Rose of Tralee, or like Mark did, go to Linden Farn, the matchmaking festival. He had a blast of a time.
I was wondering why I was getting so much attention that night. I had no clue it was a matchmaking festival.
Well, I heard you also went to the Rose of Tralee and were quite the thorn.
Wowee, Rory. That is definitely our best episode yet. If you enjoy that episode, please subscribe to Don't Miss the Bus on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts from, so you never miss an episode. And please follow us and like us on Facebook and on Instagram. And we're also on Patreon too.
please also don't forget to rate, review, and tell all of your friends so they can also jump on the magical school bus of the Don't Miss the Bus podcast. Happy travels.